Okay, good evening everyone, and welcome to this evening's teleseminar called How to Uncover Your Sacred Truth. My name is Damien Sen, and it's a great pleasure to have you on the call this evening. In a few moments from now, I'll be introducing my very special guest, Louise Langley. But before I do that, I'd just like to take a couple of moments up front to let you know how this call will run this evening, particularly if this is your first People You Should Meet call. Now, we'll be on the line for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Louise a whole series of different questions on our topic. Some of the questions will be my own, but the vast majority will actually come from people who've signed up for the call. And the actual call itself is very much an international call. We've had questions come in from all over the world, so wherever you're dialing in from this evening or listening through the web this evening, it's a great pleasure to have you on the line. Now, I've known Louise for probably, we met earlier on this year for the first time, and we had an instant connection. We became friends, very good friends, very, very quickly, and had a whole streams of different synchronicities in our life experience and also our journey, and we immediately hit it off. And I guess the way that I initially came to know Louise a little better was by reading her book, The Sacred Quest, and just the book is a phenomenal read. And Louise actually shares a lot of her journey in the book, and is also in the process of writing a couple of other books at the moment. So I'm very excited to read those when they come out as well. But Louise is a celebrated author and building up a following all around the world, and she's also an international speaker and workshop facilitator. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the call this evening our very special guest, Louise Langley. How are you doing there, Louise?
Hi, Damien. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
I'd like to reiterate as well to everybody listening that exactly what Damien said, that the connection was instant, and it's an honour to be speaking with you tonight. And for you to help me continually with all my work.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Now, we had a for those who, of you on the call who didn't actually hear our call earlier on in the year, Louise and I had a phenomenal call, and it's just a real pleasure to actually continue on this conversation and to share some insights with you this evening. Now, Louise, I thought I'd actually start you off just by exploring this whole notion of sacred truth, and I was just wondering if you could let me know, and also all the people on the call this evening, know what exactly is sacred truth, and how does someone actually go about finding it?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess I should start at the beginning, and without going into too much of my own story, I had no idea that such a thing existed, and yet at the beginning of my journey, what happened was I was presented with a situation where all around society and convention would say that where I was at was absolutely at the decisions that I had to make in those moments when I touched what I know to be the sacred truth. Society and convention would tell you, no, you're crazy, that can't be the case. But you absolutely know when you touch the sacred truth, because every part of your being, your essence, from the macrocosm to the microcosm, absolutely immerses itself in your knowing of this moment of touching absolute, pure and divine truth, which you feel and expresses itself throughout you as love. Now, I know we all have moments when we are not in our truth for whatever reason, and every one of us can relate to what that feels like. When you touch the sacred truth is the truth that is within you. There is no other truth than the truth that is your truth. Everybody and everyone and all events and places show up in a perfect moment to wake you up and to take you on a path to absolutely reflect back to you all that is within you. And all that is within you is the most amazing truth. Except that we've been conditioned to believe that the control and the truth is outside of us. But in fact, the journey to find that truth, and once you connect to the energy of what it feels like to actually be aligned and recognize what that truth is really extraordinary. And so the sacred truth at the beginning is you start by looking at and connecting with the feeling of knowing that you're experiencing moments of truth within you. And then once you've actually connected with what that feels like, that becomes your guide, your intuition becomes your guide. And there, if you totally surrender to that, totally surrender, and ask your mind to quieten the chatter of the mind, and the mind is a beautiful part of the tool that you have to help you along your journey, but it is a servant of the heart. And so if you ask the mind to quieten and you follow the heart will take you on the most spectacular journey, which will start to unveil a truth within you that you had no idea that actually existed. And that truth is quite literally a trail that you have left for you to find in the perfect moment. So the question for everybody then becomes, what is the perfect moment? And the perfect moment presents itself to you. Would you like me to just kind of talk a little bit about where...
Yeah, I'd definitely love to hear more about that.
Okay. For me, you got me on the edge of my seat. Cliffhanger. Okay. For me, what was my perfect moment? My perfect moment was... I had found myself in a marriage for quite a number of years where I'd been deeply unhappy, not because there was anything wrong with the person I was married to, but I absolutely knew within me that I couldn't stay in this marriage. And I had three young children, and society and convention would tell you that you must stay where you are, and incredible feelings of guilt swamp you because of this external control and this external truth that is presented to you as something by which you must adhere to, you must conform to. Otherwise, you are made to feel as if you are not honouring of the parties around you. And so there I found myself in a moment in Dublin with girlfriends on a weekend away when I actually found a moment where I literally threw myself in the corner, threw my head in my hands and pleaded to the universe with all my soul, not knowing what I was doing, to please send me this person that I'd seen in my dreams, or so I thought, for a number of years. And this person was a man who looked in a particular way. And I had already decided by that point when I went away, I had this absolute epiphany that night that I knew that I had to walk away from this marriage and break society and convention. Now, what happened was, within 3 hours, this guy showed up in a bar, a very unusual-looking man, and exactly the image of the man that I'd seen. I was standing in the bar, and he walked back out, and he kind of looked, and he walked out, and my head was saying, don't move, and my heart was saying, you get yourself out there now. And I followed my heart implicitly for the first time ever. Now, in a work environment, I have done it. I've been in the trading rooms and international banking and software and things like that. And yeah, we all have our moments of following our intuition, but there's a huge difference between following your intuition 100% of the time, your heart 100% of the time, and following it a fraction of the time. And what happened was, I walked out in that moment and this man was waiting for me, and we had 20 minutes on the streets of Dublin, where we both knew that we'd had lifetimes and lifetimes together. We could not fathom what this connection was, how this could possibly be, but everything faded into the background. And in those moments, I touched a love that was so exquisite and so extraordinary that had me weeping. I couldn't articulate that in any way. And even now, I would find it impossible to articulate what I actually felt. And so did he. And yet we were pulled apart after 20 minutes, with no way of contacting each other, and I had to come back to the UK. And in those moments when I came back to the UK, I went through this incredible grieving process, believing that I'd been ripped apart from a love that was being given to me, until I came to a place where I understood that what that was in fact a mirror for me to see the love and the truth of who and what I am. Because actually, nobody can give you anything. All that anyone can ever do is reflect to you exactly who and what you are. And in those moments, and the weeks that followed, I started to discover me. I started to look deep within. I started to open my eyes, the eyes of my heart and the eyes of my entire being, to all of the messages that were appearing around me in the most phenomenal form. Not understanding, because I had absolutely nobody around me that actually even believed I was sane, I think, at the time. I think they all thought I was crazy. But because the moment I'd come back, I'd, you know, spoken to my husband at the time, said we needed to separate. And all these signs kept showing up, and I had no idea at the time that these signs were actually me creating signs for me to see. And all these things kept showing up synchronistically, synergistically, coincidences, amazing things like I would walk into the back garden, open the back door, and there'd be over 300 white feathers laid in the trail for me to see down the garden. I'd stand and say, "Who and what am I?" at night, and the sky would blaze white, and I would be blowing light bulbs and sockets and all sorts of stuff, any electromagnetic frequencies of any kind. But the really interesting thing was still I continued to follow my heart. And I just absolutely knew inside of me, every part of me knew that the only truth was this truth that my heart was screaming at me. And my head was telling me I was absolutely crazy, but I persisted in following my heart. And in so doing, within 3 months, 3 months later was when the bones of this story came in one night to me. And as I wrote down what was coming, I didn't dismiss any of the information that was coming, even though I thought this is completely crazy. And then what happened was from that moment, the story, as I started to write the story in full, so it started to become my reality. And during the process of the year and a half that followed to where I am now, more and more information came. Information that people would think, well, you know, what on earth are you doing writing that down? Why would you take any notice of this? But I really want to reemphasize at this point that the only thing that I listened to was my heart, because I knew it was the truth. And I knew with every moment that passed that that truth was growing stronger and stronger, and that the chatter in my mind and the chatter around me from everybody else, when people were telling me, "You are crazy, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? You're a single mom, taking all this money and spending it in this way," because my heart was saying, "You do this." So for example, I was, you know, putting a full page advert around the world for my book. I had no idea why I was doing it, other than my heart was telling me to do it, and not that I particularly had the money to do it at the time. I was borrowing money to do stuff left, right and center, but I was following my heart, until such a point when I realized, hang on a minute, there's a story here that's unfolding, and, you know, maybe, just maybe, my heart is trying to show me the path of the story I've actually left, the trail I've actually left for me to find. And then I started to engage and connect with the fact that there is actually a tool and a guide that's as strong and clear as anything to show you what your journey is. And this is a journey that you always intended for you to come here and have, and yet you just needed the perfect moment to show up in order for you to remember that you were to listen to your heart and to follow that guidance that your heart gives you, and take you along your journey so that your story that you've created for you to come here and experience can unfold.
Yeah, it's just such a fascinating unfolding of just that moment when you reconnect with who you are and why it is that you've come to this place. And I've certainly had very, very powerful experiences. And so every time you share your story and your unfolding, Louise, it just excites me to the core. And I just think it's really, really powerful. And there's a couple of things I just wanted to really touch on what you just shared there. One of the concepts there was like breaking societal norms and conventions and being brave enough to stand often in times of just fierce opposition of other people, and often that takes a lot of courage to do that. And the other thing as well that I really wanted to touch on as well was just really that recognition that the power lies inside of you, or resides inside of you, and how we're conditioned from birth, almost in our Western cultures, to pursue power outside of ourselves, or give our power over to things that are outside of ourselves, rather than actually connecting with that internal power and using that as our compass.
Yeah.
But it was just great that you shared those two concepts, because they're very, very real for me, and I'm sure they're very, very real for people on this call as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, so there are so many people that stand in history before us all who have done exactly that. I mean, who have stood so firmly in their truth when everybody around them has had them persecuted, burnt, their works confiscated, and yet they held true to what they knew to be their truth, which was proved scientifically or otherwise later on. And today, there are many, many people that are doing it. You, I, many of these people that are listening in now, so many amazing people standing in their truth. You only have to look at what's happening within society right now to understand that, you know, every additional part of technology, for the internet, for example, it's a way of actually removing the notion that the control is outside of you, and empowering people to start to understand that actually the control is at their fingertips. And it's the most liberating feeling when you know that actually, if you listen to your heart, all material objects, all notion of need disappears. And as you let go of any notion of need or attachment to any outcome or any notion that something that is material is valuable, the liberation within you is so extraordinary that it frees you to have the most amazing journey unfold around you. It's a beautiful, beautiful place to be. Yes, you experience absolute polarities of experience at either end of the spectrum. Yes, you'll get really wretched moments and then hugely blissful moments, but that's the beauty, that's the reason that we're here, is so that you can experience that. Because in fact, that place of truth, if we were to take energy vibration for a moment, the place of truth is somewhere right in the middle. It's like black or white, what is truth? Grey centres in the middle. Now, grey is the truth, but in fact, what is more dynamic for you to experience? It's the black and the white. And so it's like hot and cold. When you experience hot, you can only know what cold is if you experience hot. Now, if you take freezing cold, you then have the ability to then touch and feel and experience and know what burning hot is. And if you keep pushing and extending those boundaries, then you have further and further experience and more ability to actually experience the vitality of being alive. Now, if you look at the brain is telling you to continually to hold on to that security blanket, find that place of harmony and peace and walk in the middle. However, when you are actually in that place, the heart doesn't feel very alive. When the heart is vibrant and alive and excited, it's when you're experiencing the absolute extremes that it's possible to experience. And in fact, when you actually take a scientific measure of those to experience either extreme, the heart responds in exactly the same way. The heart doesn't respond in a different way if you're wretched, if you're blissful. The feeling that society would have you attached to that conditions you to believe that's something different. But actually, the heart is actually performing and responding in this incredibly vitally alive way, which is the joy of playing the game of life.
Totally. One of my favorite sayings is fear and excitement are actually very close cousins. There's not actually much that separates them at all. And I guess with life as well, that the whole kaleidoscope of different experiences that are available to us, often we're conditioned away from experiencing that beautiful richness and that kaleidoscope, in favour of a path of absolute, like I call it, flatlining, where feelings, emotions are just literally on a very static, stable path. And I suppose this human condition, we're all here to experience as much of it as we possibly can, and just really jumping into life and allowing the magic to unfold. And yeah, it's just a wonderful, wonderful way to live.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other thing that society conditions us to believe is that if we are standing in our truth and we are totally aligned with our truth and that truth is about to hurt somebody, we are conditioned to believe that they are experiencing something which is imposed upon them because we are being selfish. And this is a really, really important point here, which is that the ego, the personality, is the most phenomenal and beautiful tool that you have to express and feel and play the game of life with. So if you want to play Monopoly, for example, you can be the player, but you need a counter to move around that board. Otherwise, you can't be in the game. So our ego, our personality, our physicality, our emotional and our mental bodies, they're all here in order for us to experience and feel what it's like to have the experiences of playing a game of life. Now, we still need, someone is still there strategizing and playing that game. And when you have a perfect union between the ego and the personality and the soul, the spirit, the strategizer of the game, then you have the makings of the most phenomenal game. Now, we all know that when we're playing games, yeah, you can play a game, and a game you get from A and you end up at B, or you start at the start and you get to the end. But, you know, if you whiz through that game and there's not much intrigue, then, okay, you've played the game and you've got to the end, but you kind of look back and think, oh, okay, that was an okay game. However, if you're at a game and there's all sorts of intrigue and developments and character plots, developments, and, you know, all the way through, imagine it, all the way through, your only guide is your heart. Your only guide is to, no matter all of the decoys and the curveballs that are coming in at you from every aspect, you know, from all around of you, and yet the truth is your heart. You know, how many times do you watch a movie or do you play a game and you think, wow, that was so exciting? And because I stuck to what it was I knew inside of me that I was going to strategize and follow, that was the most phenomenal game. And I ended up at the end, but actually getting to the end wasn't what it was about. It was actually playing the game. And when I was playing the game, I had such amazing fun. Well, that's what we're here to do. And having amazing fun is not about just having the happy times, because you can't even know what the happy times are unless you've had the sorrow. I mean, actually, there's a guy called Khalil Gibran who is beautiful. Actually, for people listening, it's a beautiful book to go and get. It's full of beautiful, beautiful quotes. And he says along the lines of, you know, you cannot possibly experience joy until you've experienced sorrow. And it's absolutely the case. So what would you have to compare it to? So your truth, the sacred truth, is different for everybody. This is the other critical thing. Everybody has come here with their own unique expression. And what happens is, in these journeys, all these people show up for you to reflect back to you and to give you the pieces of your puzzle, of your journey. Now, if your truth is saying to you, okay, I need to walk away from this man or this woman, I need to say to this person right now, in this moment of now, you can't speak to me like that. You shouldn't do this journey. Or you, if there's anything that you know that you need to impart to somebody, as much as society and conditioning, convention would tell you that you're going to hurt that person, consider this. If this is your truth and you don't actually do that for that person, you have agreed that when you come here and you follow your truth on your journey, your game of life, you will in some moment impart something to that person who's in front of you in order for them to have you as their mirror and for them to experience something that is going to propel them along their journey. So in fact, if you don't do that, you are not giving the service to them that you agreed to come and do, and you are not empowering them to have their own journey. Does that make sense?
That's so powerful. I think it's amazing the chance meetings with strangers that pop up and these little cameo performances that give you that one secret ingredient that you need to move forward, or even longer-term relationships or friendships or connections, or just, I guess, relationships with family members, all, I guess, pushing us to experience what it is we're here to do and who we are here to become.
Yeah.
And just framing it up in that way is just so, so powerful.
And also, if you imagine that the truth is so clear within you when you touch it, truth is the highest. When we talk about levels of human consciousness and energy levels at which we calibrate, we are all energy, and we are calibrating at a certain frequency. In other words, if you look at any of us under a microscope, we're moving particles of energy, and we are vibrating at a certain frequency. Now, the highest vibrational frequency is truth. There is no room for doubt within truth. Even within a space of love, there is still room for doubt. But in truth, there is no doubt. So when you hold true to your truth, you are vibrating at such a frequency. And if you can hold that, if you can constantly be in that space of truth, you do not need to go and search or look for your journey or look for anyone or anything, because they all show up. Everybody comes to you, and in fact, the stiller you are, the more everything on your journey will show up. Why? Because when you're very, very still, and I don't mean that it means you can't get up and go walking. To be still, in fact, somebody who I was doing an integration session for this morning was saying, but I can't sit still. And I said, that's absolutely fine. You can walk through the woods and things, but just be with you. Because when you're with you, you're able to see and hear and feel what it is that you have to tell yourself. And then, in essence, when you do that and you're very still, everything and everyone can show up and come to you in order to facilitate this journey, which is your truth and your reason for being here. And it's when you maintain that energy calibration that everything that you know within you becomes manifest instantly. There is no time delay, because time, which we know doesn't exist, disappears. Time is a linear structure anyway for us to know, but time literally disappears, and everything that you know within you that is vibrating at a level of truth becomes manifest before you. And don't be frightened. If you're walking along a street and a stranger, and suddenly your heart's telling you, speak to that stranger, go and speak to them immediately. Mm. Don't stop, because that's your story, that's your trail. I've done some crazy, crazy things, but it's amazing where it's led to. And usually if you stop a stranger and you say, hey, I don't know why, but I've just got to tell you, I have to speak to you, they love it. And you start talking, it's like, wow. It's amazing where it leads.
Yeah. I've had some amazing chance encounters. But one thing I really love what you just said there, Louise, was about the whole concept of being still. Personally, I was doing an intuitive reading for myself and my own journey, and I asked for a symbol, and the symbol that came through to me for this personal reading that I did for myself was the symbol of the windmill. And I just loved the concept of the windmill, and just being really strong and sturdy and very rooted and grounded in a particular space. And windmills don't actually go out chasing wind. They just sit there, and they know in their heart that the wind will come. It was just such a real powerful symbol of stillness and being very powerful in stillness for me. And it was just lovely to hear you share that message as well, and just remind me of that.
Most absolutely. I mean, some of the great avatars of our time. Look at Albert Einstein, for example. He openly declares that. He never had the answers for anything, and he never went searching. He just put the ideas out there to the universe at night, and he would wake up the next morning and boom, there, this information came through. And that's what I was saying earlier. So there's so much information that has come to me, and that's the other thing. Don't question what comes. Just write it down, accept it, because even if you don't understand it in those moments, later on you'll look back and you'll think, oh, wow. And it's like if you're playing a game with a jigsaw puzzle. You know, when you're following a journey of real truth, and nobody can tell you the truth, only you know the truth, but keep a note of everything, every experience, keep a journal, write it all down, record it in the way that you feel, even the tiniest little details, because it's extraordinary what happens later on to validate the events and things and the information that comes to you. Absolutely incredible. And, you know, both myself and everybody around me certainly has been quite astounded at some of the information that I've just written, and later on information that has shown up to kind of validate it. And you think, wow, you know, things like strings of 26 numbers, for example, that I just suddenly thought to write down kind of came through me. And later on, a whole string of 26 numbers showed up somewhere else. It's the exact same numbers in the exact same sequence, completely random numbers. Now, that just, the chances of that are, must be a zillion to one or something. So the fact is that your truth is ever in you. I mean, Galileo is a great example. I mean, in 1616, he was ordered basically not to hold or defend the idea that the earth moves and the sun stands still. So, you know, he actually was convicted. He was ordered to be imprisoned, and the publication of all of his works, present or future, were forbidden, burnt, locked away. Now, he stood there, and he refused, absolutely refused, to actually walk away from that. And yet science proved later on, absolutely proved, that the world was round as we know. And at that time, he had no proof for this. He just came from his place of absolute truth and knowing, and the information that was flooding through him and the suppositions he was pulling together. Socrates, he's another guy, stood up. You know, his friends were pleading with him, Phaedo pleading with him to let go of the concept of the immortality of the soul, and yet he'd rather choose death. William Wallace, another great person throughout history, you know, the Scottish history, who absolutely stood up for his truth. He was tortured and for actually standing up for the concept that there is no control outside of you, that the only truth resides within you, when he was standing up fighting for a freedom of every person within Scotland. And he was tortured, and yet what happened as a result of his torture, his dying words were freedom. When he was being tortured in a horrific way in front of crowds, what happened? Robert the Bruce went on in absolute honour of him and his declaration of truth, and took back Scotland for itself. You know, these people inspire others. They absolutely inspire others to know that if you can stand and know that your truth is more important than anything else that could ever be presented to you in any way, shape or form, what inspiration and empowerment for everybody around you. Because let me tell you this, if you do not love yourself, how can anyone look at you as the mirror and love themselves? How can anyone be empowered to be in their truth if you will not stand in yours? It's the absolute greatest service that you can do for anybody around you, to absolutely love and honor the majesty and the beauty of all that you are and all of the truth that you have come here to be. Because in so doing, so you enable and empower everybody around you to absolutely be in that position. And the effect of that is so exponential, it's quite extraordinary. It never ceases to have me weeping. I do a lot of crying. <You know? laughs> It never ceases to have me weeping when I watch people just so just incredulous and amazed and blissful and on their knees when they realize the beauty and magnificence of who and what they are and what they've come here to be. And actually, even on my last workshop, I know you know this, David, but some of the people, it was so beautiful for them to say, you know, from the very beginning they've been saying, oh, I don't know how to connect with my intuition, I don't know how to find this story, I don't know how to find this trail, how am I going to do it? And by the end, especially after a very long experiential session we do around intuition, and they'll come back and people will be saying to me, oh my God, I can't believe this, I've actually been connecting with my intuition, I didn't even realise. And it's just so beautiful to watch people's faces when, you know, absolute transformations in people. And one beautiful girl who came in one day was completely hiding, and the next day she came in and no one could believe it. She was just like this butterfly that had emerged. It was so beautiful. And, wow. You know, it's so empowering for people to finally know that there is no truth outside of them. The only truth is within them. And everything and everyone that shows up, they're showing up for their story, just like you and I are here now. For everybody on the end of this phone, we only exist in their reality because we're here for everyone here, because they have created that today to hear what we're here to say, because it's their story, and all we are is facilitators in their amazing story of life.
Wow. Well, so many gems in there. I guess my favourite there as well, the majesty and the beauty of all that you are. That's just such beautiful, beautiful words. Now, Louise, I was just wondering, I've got some questions here and I'd love to ask you some of them. We've got some amazing questions come in from people.
Yeah.
And I'm going to start off with a question from Ian. And Ian's in the United Kingdom. And Ian asks, do we become ready for our real truth, or has it been waiting for us all our lives?
A beautiful question. We are born, interestingly, the energy of our name carries our journey, our story that we came here to play out. And in the perfect moment, that truth, that sits within you from the moment you're born. The perfect moment is the perfect moment for you. Never, never, never say, why did I not do this? Why did I do this? Everything is perfect. Everything that you do, you are, you ever have been, and ever will be, is perfect. And so everything has led you to a moment when you have created a situation for you to suddenly hear and be aware of the fact that you have this journey to follow. And so that truth has been sitting within you for all of this time. But equally, like everything, Albert Einstein again, he says, the only truth and the only constant in the universe is change. Now, your truth evolves, and it must evolve. If it didn't evolve, we would all stand still and we would cease to exist. So your truth is playing the most phenomenal role for you, because everything that has preceded this point has been building the picture and the story and the vision, if you like, the view through which you perceive life, in order for you to be able to take that view, that vision, and switch it in the moment that is perfect for you to suddenly go. When you have that amazing aha moment and you think, ah, that's why all of these things have been happening. That's why all of these situations have been showing up. This is why all these people have been showing up. Relationships have been showing up to show me again and again and again, to get me to see and to finally wake up to what it is that I've always known but never been able to see that's in front of me. And that's the moment at which you start to connect with your truth that has always been there. And then what happens is, as you continue on your journey, what happened for me is, as I grew on my journey, I would start to see my truth that I knew reflected in front of me in certain images, in certain experiences. And those experiences, as those experiences grow, as you push the boundaries of what you're experiencing, so your truth evolves, because you know and you experience and you feel a greater and greater essence of that truth. It's like seeing a story, and the story suddenly explode into so many different multiples of endless versions of color, endless notes of sound. They still come back to the same truth, but the more that you push it, the more that you connect, the more you explore, the more you surrender to it, the more incredible experience you have. So, yes, you've always been born with that truth. The truth, once you connect with it and surrender to it, becomes the most extraordinary and beautiful rainbow of colors of feelings, and ever grows with you. So the truth never stops. But the moment you surrender completely is the moment at which that journey starts to unfold, and the truth starts to unfold around you at an incredible pace.
Wow, amazing. Now, I have a question from, this one's from Paula, and Paula's in South Africa. And Paula asks, how best to remain consistently in your truth? I often find myself slipping into bad habits, trying to meet others' expectations, and I find this frustrating. Can you help?
Yeah, beautiful question. This is all about the honour of you. The only way to remain consistently in your truth is to remain consistently in honour of everything that you know to be the truth within you. And this goes back to, I mean, the bad habits. We are all in that place where, as we mentioned before, society will tell you, okay, you know, you can't hurt somebody's feelings around you. You need to put the other person before you. Well, this goes back to the fact that if you are not honoring your own truth, how can you be giving the service to the other person that you promised to give to them anyway? How can they be empowered to honor their truth when you're not honoring your own? So in fact, if in every moment, when you feel that moment as if you're thinking, okay, and you know, those of us who have children in relationships, etc., etc., we all know what that's like. Now, it doesn't mean that. It does not mean that you don't love the other person that's in front of you. But do you know that a state of unconditional love is this? It's when you love somebody so much that you know that it doesn't matter if you never physically see that person, touch that person, or actually physically be next to that person again, that the only thing that matters is that the beautiful and glorious journey that that person is here to experience unfolds for them. And when you can love somebody to that degree, you've found something which is called grace. And grace is about being in this incredible place of stillness, which we talked about before, and knowing and trusting without attachment in any way that everybody around you is there in front of you to honor and respect you, and you to honor and respect them, and have no attachment to, just like you were saying, Damien, about these cameo roles. You know, we're so quick to actually say, okay, this person's shown up. Okay, I'm going to pigeonhole them now. That must mean because they're going to be my boyfriend or my girlfriend or my lover or my business partner. Well, can't we just leave them to be where they are? There's a good friend I have out in the Middle East, actually, and we were having a conversation very recently because she's been absolutely amazed at a man that's appeared in her life, and he's now living with her. And she was saying to me, oh, you know, but the thing is now, he's not necessarily completely open to his heart. And I said, whoa, hang on a minute. 3 weeks ago, you would have been absolutely astounded. You were only emailing each other. Now here he is living with you. Have no attachment to the person, what they're here for, why they've shown up, but just love them unconditionally for everything that they are and everything they show you in those moments. And know that if you stay absolutely rooted in that place of unconditional love for you, so are you empowering everybody around you to be in that place of unconditional love for themselves. And that is the way to not slip into the habits of honoring or believing you're honoring other people outside of you. Honor you always, and you will provide the greatest honor for those around you. I hope that answers the question.
That's a great, great answer. Amazing. Cool. Okay, we've got a question here from Edward in Ireland. And Edward asks, I'm really not sure what I'm supposed to be doing. I just feel I'm supposed to bring a message to people and I'm not fulfilling my true potential at the moment. How do I step into my truth more fully?
Okay, beautiful question, Edward. Right, I want to take you back to the beginning of my journey. When I had that amazing experience in Dublin, I came back. I had no concept of what was happening to me at all. No one to talk to, nowhere to reach. I just kept following my heart, as we know, as we've spoken about. Now, it was some 3 months after that I woke up one night with this incredible bones of this story coming and flooding into my consciousness. And I wrote throughout the night, interestingly finishing at 5:55, which I know we've mentioned before, which is about cataclysmic change, where you come into the life that you truly deserve. It's quite a beautiful way to finish the bones of a book, actually. And the point being that even as I wrote the bones of that story and I began to write it from the following day, or I began to live it, I still had no idea what was happening. I only knew this. Somehow, from the moment that I came back from Dublin, I knew that there was a purpose and a reason for what was happening to me. I knew that there was a purpose and a reason why all around must think I'm crazy, and yet I knew that I was not. I knew there was a purpose and a reason why I absolutely had to stand by this truth and these feelings that were emerging within me, which I couldn't possibly rationalize, place any logic around in any way, shape or form. I had no idea where this was leading, what would happen, where this was taking me, what this journey was, even that there was a journey. I just stayed rooted in listening and obeying and honoring my heart. And what happened was the journey, the purpose, literally unfolded about me. And it was only by not seeking it, not searching for it, that it was able to actually unfold about me. And even now, more now than ever, actually. And in fact, just recently, I had a period of 11 days in Crete, where you could call it the dark nights of the soul, whatever you want to do, but I spent 11 days being incredibly still, and I let go again of attachment in areas, this is really, really important, all of it, the greatest teacher is forever the most willing student. If anyone ever says to you, I know it all, they are the person with the most to learn, and always, it's so important to face what is within you. All of the expression and the emotion that's coming up that you don't want to face is the greatest teacher for you in those moments. Now, when you embrace that and you allow yourself to go deeply into the grief with it, deeply into the wretchedness, into the heights of bliss, there comes the essence of the next part of your journey. And when you can be in that place of absolute stillness and totally lose attachment again and face everything that is within you that you really don't want to face, but face it and let go, that journey and that mission and that purpose will find you. You don't have to look for it at all. It's enough for you to know that you're here with a mission and a purpose, and just surrender it and say, I don't know what it is, but come and find me, and it will.
Wow. I love that line, face what is within you. Now, so like in our distraction culture, like often we do everything but then just spend that quiet time looking inside and finding what it is that, you know, what messages are trying to be born through us.
That's absolutely. Really, I mean, we are an incredible and vast being which exists across, you know, so many realities and dimensions. We consider that we are a bound and limited being because we are living in a body. Our brain tells us this. In fact, and I've mentioned this before on the call that we did last time, but a little tiny snippet of science. Science proves categorically that over 93% of the stimuli that the brain responds to is directly from the heart. Now, if that's the case and the thoughts create your reality, then it's as clear as anything exactly what is in control. Your heart's in control. Your feelings are in control. So anything that is running within you that you are not facing, you are not addressing, and you are not embracing is actually creating your reality. So the quicker that you face it and the quicker that you say, okay, I'm gonna totally and utterly immerse myself in this and love this part I am refusing to look at, refusing to deal with, let me take that and embrace it and deal with it and face it square in the eye and love it. In those moments, you are releasing yourself and you are releasing any attachment or need to keep running those programs, those feelings over and over. And that is when you can start to see, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's really, really powerful. Now, I've got one last question from Christine. And Christine's in the United Kingdom. And Christine asks, I believe I receive signs when I am getting on the right track for me. Do you receive signs yourself? And if so, what are they?
Lovely question. Okay. I could talk for weeks, months and years probably on something that I call the clues of the trail. Many, 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 many signs. I think, okay, where do we start? The most important place to start is, which doesn't sound as though it's got anything to do with clues, is the moment of now. Without going into the science, because I really won't at this point, there is only one moment, the moment of now. Now, we exist on many dimensions, on many realities, as this incredible energy source of which we are all one. There is no separation. We are all completely one. And in this moment of now, we continue to create for ourselves our trail in order for us to follow our journey. Now, this trail is being created in what we would consider to be our own dimension, our own reality, and we are also providing clues for our trail from ourselves in all other places in which we are in existence. And without going into all of that detail, I'm just using that before I start to explain to you some of the clues of the trail, because the clues of the trail show up in the most extraordinary fashion. So, for example, some examples would be, you might keep seeing or bumping into somebody constantly. Someone who could be a complete stranger, and yet you walk around the corner, there they are again. You walk down a path, there they are again. You think of somebody, and then suddenly they call. Suddenly you're talking to someone and they finish a sentence for you, or you're finishing a sentence for them. You know what they're about to say, and you're in this whole conversation where you think, well, how can that be? How can that be that I know what they're going to say, and you already know what you're going to say next? Someone you meet has met somebody or contacted somebody, or so many other people that you've already met or you're contacting yourself. You suddenly recognize that the same things are happening through different methods, through different people showing up, different places. Evidence comes to you through, or knowledge through, people or places or events which validate information that you've received. Numbers appear in sets of threes or threes in a row. So, for example, you could, you know, you're driving and you look up and a car comes at you and it's along and it has 333 on the number plate. And, you know, a moment later you look up and there's a sign on the wall and it has 333. And suddenly a song is playing on the radio and it talks about 333. And someone is telling you to take note of the meaning of this number 333. Or you could suddenly look at, you could be thinking something, and all of a sudden you look at a newspaper or a magazine article or a shop sign or a telephone number somewhere. And in that moment, those numbers that could appear to anyone to be completely random, you look at them, and in those moments, those numbers actually mean something to you. It's as if you've decoded them, and you're thinking, how could that be? Information that comes to you from three different sources. So someone will ring you and say, hey, you've got to talk to this guy called Damien Sen. Suddenly someone sends you an email, and they're saying, I've just met Damien Sen, and I really think you should speak to him. And then suddenly you'll get a notification from somebody who says, I've just got this really amazing teleseminar to go and listen to, and it's Damien Sen. And you think, ah, oh, right, okay, I really need to go and connect with Damien. Animals are amazing signs. Here's an amazing one for you. When I arrived in Crete, I was really, really late. We were driving along in the motorway, me and my three boys, and suddenly, in the middle of the pitch black, this little hedgehog kind of runs out in front of my car and almost stops in front of me and smiles, and I was thinking, oh, I was so incredulous. I managed to miss the hedgehog, which was really good. It actually wasn't until the end of my holiday that I found out from a very good friend of mine, Clayton Anger, who works with power animals and things, that what the hedgehog actually means, which is all about not allowing other people around you to pull you down, to be courageous, to be strong, to know your truth and to be still and to be joyful and playful and know that everything comes to you when you are the most still. And the most beautiful thing was I didn't even know the meaning of that until I'd actually experienced all of that in the 11 days I was there. So that animals are an amazing sign. Owls, eagles, all sorts. Working with cards. I mean, amazing what cards that drop out of packs in front of you. We've mentioned the meaning of your name. I mean, your name carries the most phenomenal roadmap to help you on your journey. Soul contract readings using numerology of Moses, all sorts of things like that, can help you really with your roadmaps. There are so many signs. The next person that calls you, the next person that speaks to you tonight, as soon as you come off this call, will give you a message. And that message you have asked them to give to you. You just don't realize that until you wake up and listen to it. The next book that falls open, notice the words that are staring out at you in that moment. Notice the song that's playing. Notice the next thing that the person actually gives you as a gift. Notice the next leaflet that comes through your door. Notice the first animal that you see when you walk out in the morning. Notice what the bird is singing. Notice what the sky is doing, the elements, the sun. It's incredible. The signs are all there in front of you. In that first summer in Crete, when I got back from Dublin and I was going away with my boys, I was having things like an owl sitting on my gate in the middle of summer in Crete. I would have rose petals laid out in the shapes of hearts in my garden. Things that were just extraordinary that I would never have even looked for or noticed before, and they were there so obvious in front of me, and I'd never even seen them, and I'm no different from anyone. They're all there. It's there in front of us all the time.
Wow. Oh my God, Louise, the time has flown this evening. We're getting right up to the hour, but I've just been as usual, just thoroughly engaged with all the wisdom and experiences that you share, and also, most importantly, is the energy that you bring to everything that you do. It's just so infectious, and it's just amazing to be in that space of the pursuit of truth and beauty and stillness. It just absolutely oozes out of you, and just really wanted to acknowledge you for actually sharing your time with us this evening.
Thank you, Damien. But of course, I'm only here as a mirror of you, because that's exactly what you are. And for anyone listening to this call who doesn't already know that, I'm sure you know that by now, because Damien is absolutely gorgeous and exudes the most amazing and beautiful childlike and truthful and beautiful expression of the universe. So I feel very honoured to be with you.
Thank you. Louise, I was just thinking that there are going to be lots of people who would love to find out more about you and would love to stay in touch with you, and I was just wondering if you could let them know how they could find out more about you and also how they could connect with your work in a deeper way.
Yeah, sure. I have a website which Damien is helping me finish at the moment. I had many websites, but pulling them all together. So if you can go to www.louiselangley.com, and on there you'll find details of events that I'm running, books that I'm writing, information. I blog on there regularly, so keep everybody up to date with all sorts of things. I've actually created the first of a number of workshops now, based upon people actually who've read my book around the world and have actually said, wow, how can we do this? Can you help us? So I've created a workshop which is called Uncover Your Sacred Quest, the first one being the core beliefs. We're running the next one in Chalice Well in December, on the 11th, 12th and 13th. Which actually energetically happens to be the most phenomenal time. I didn't realise it when I booked it, but it's just proving to be an amazing one. So that will be a residential retreat, and the details of that are actually on my website. But perhaps, Damien, you'd be able to give people a link or something to that afterwards if they want to find out more about that.
Wow.
I will keep everybody posted about my next books. I'm writing some books at the moment which are called The Aquila Chronicles. So volume one is nearly finished. I'm very excited. And yes, there'll be people out there that will say, this girl is completely crazy what she's talking about. But I stand firmly in my truth as I write all these experiences, amazing information that has unfolded and that's coming through these books. It's quite an extraordinary story, very heart-wrenching, but all completely true. There's some of the things that I'm doing, and there'll be a little taster events we're going to run next year as well. Damien is helping me pull all the taster events and everything together, really. So huge, huge love and thanks to Damien for that. But, yeah, there's some examples of some of the things that we're doing. And in terms of what the workshop does, the core beliefs, the first one is a core belief. There'll be two others. One will be looking into the sacred union, and the second, the sacred life path. But people start with the core belief, which is really, really connecting with how to follow your journey in depth. So it's really looking at many of the things that we've talked about today, which is understanding what a situation is telling you, the polarities, the mirror, clues of the trail, embracing the moment of now, how to find your intuition, how to follow it, how to trust it, how to remember that you're a child of the universe, how a tiny bit about how science supports you. I'm doing a whole other workshop around that. And then how you actually follow that and be completely instilled in it so that you can actually manifest your journey. So that's what the first workshop is all about, really.
Mm. Wow.
Is that enough?
I think it's just, I think it's just such powerful work. Like we sort of alluded to this earlier on in the call, where we're literally living in a environment of self-empowerment. And like gone are the days of supporting our human potential and our divine nature to powers above us or below us or wherever. I think this whole era of looking for the answers inside of us is really, really exciting for me personally, and I know for many of the people walking this planet. And I just think you're a phenomenal facilitator and guide to help us on that path, Louise. So for people that are sitting there thinking about whether or not they should get along to one of your workshops, I can certainly wholeheartedly endorse that they absolutely should, and certainly go on this magical journey.
Well, and I know we've run out of time, but just one little tiny thing on that note, Damien, as well, is that what I wanted to say, and we didn't get a chance to say earlier, was, and I know this is something that you and I both feel deeply, which is the fact that, yeah, there are many great avatars, and we could sit and list them off in history. And right now, people like Professor Muhammad Yunus, Richard Branson, many big names. But do you know the greatest avatars of standing in their truth are all of us? It's not about the people who are out there with notoriety and fame. The people that have the greatest courage are those who are the people who are living the life where it takes the greatest courage to walk out and stand in their truth and say, do you know what, no matter what my family and friends think, no matter what teachers at school, people around me, colleagues at work think, I now am who I am, and I'm so honoured and blessed and extraordinarily blessed with the gift of experiencing this incredible notion of life, that I now stand firmly in my truth, and I will be, for me and for everybody around me, the most beautiful example of honouring the majesty and the grace and the beauty of all that it is I've been given to come here and experience. And they are the greatest avatars you can possibly know. And, you know, we are so gifted and blessed to be surrounded by so many, of which people may never have heard of their name, but it doesn't actually matter, because as soon as energetically you're in that place, the thing that you do is you create a calibration of energy that affects and actually shifts so many millions of people on this planet. And I know this is another whole discussion, energy calibration, but just one person who calibrates at a level of unconditional love constantly can actually counter the consciousness of 70 million people on this planet. So that is by standing in your own truth and honoring your truth and loving in an unconditional state everyone and everything around you, which you can do from this moment now. By being in that state, you can affect 70 million people in this reality on this planet. And that is the power you hold at your fingertips.
Wow, that is amazing. Louise, I just really wanted to take this opportunity to honour you and thank you so much for sharing your wisdom this evening. I've certainly got so much from our call this evening, but certainly from every single conversation that we have, it's always illuminating. And I just wanted to thank you on behalf of myself and for everyone listening to this call and also listening back to the recording.
Oh, and thank you, Damien, always.
And thank you, everyone. I just want to extend that all to you as well. Like, I honour each and every single one of you for being the magnificent human beings that you are and for participating in this phenomenal conversation. So it's a real pleasure to be of service. And, yeah, look forward to having you on a peopleyoushouldmeet.com's call very soon. Okay. Thanks, Louise.
Thank you. Bye.